Hetedik. Origó típusú beszédértést mérő vizsga. A következőkben két idegen nyelvű szöveget fog hallani. Mindkét szöveget háromszor hallgathatja meg. Minden meghallgatás szünet követ. Kérjük, hogy kövesse a feladatlap utasításait. Most olvassa el a feladatlapon az első szöveghez tartozó kérdéseket. Az első szöveg első meghallgatása következik.
Set 7, Task 1. Sustainable Towns. Human-caused climate change is our second biggest existential challenge. Avoiding further climate change requires we stop burning fossil fuels. Total sustainability requires that we stop using up all non-renewables. We must also stop over-harvesting fragile renewables. We vacuum the sea and wreck the broodstock, no more fish. We clear fell timber on rainforest hillsides, millennia of soil is lost in the next monsoon. Obvious? Of course. But it's equally clear we are accelerating in the opposite direction. Why? Many of us live in cities and suburbs. They are deeply unsustainable. Their construction, maintenance and operation consumes non-renewable materials, and only little is reused, and an insufficient proportion is recycled. And many cities and suburbs are coastal. Climate predictions suggest that they will be underwater within a few centuries. Their peoples will have to move, requiring massive and generous international cooperation. So we will have to relocate many people over the coming decades and centuries to have any chance of doing so in a controlled and totally sustainable way. We must start soon. So, where to move and how to live? New cities and suburbs on higher ground? No, that just repeats today's errors. I suggest we need to consider living in medium-sized towns, perhaps 15,000 residents, towns that are sustainably constructed and operated, and adjacent to sufficient land to satisfy most residents' need for food, dairy products, and timber. Those outer areas from adjacent towns should eventually form a transcontinental wildlife corridor, and the locations would be sufficiently elevated to survive an eventual 70-metre sea level rise. Town size is important. Too small makes it difficult to afford key social infrastructure, too big and the inefficiencies of cities return. On average, a population of 15,000 would include about 2,600 students from kindergarten through high school. Suitably laid out, there could be no more than 2 kilometres in the town from any house to the shops, offices and factories. It is realistic to run such a town with no cars. People walk, cycle, skate and ride scooters. The disabled could use small electric vehicles or ride in a covered tricycle rickshaw. Roads would be half the normal suburban size, perhaps 5 metres wide, and would be marked with lanes for walkers and riders. Heavier vehicle visits would be rare. All buildings would have composting toilets, which would also take all kitchen scraps.
Most egy perc áll rendelkezésére, hogy a feladatlapon szereplő kérdésekre a válaszadást megkezdje magyar nyelven. A szöveget még kétszer fogja hallani. A meghallgatások után 3-3 perc áll rendelkezésére, hogy a feladatlapon szereplő kérdésekre válaszoljon. A második meghallgatás következik.
Set 7, Task 1. Sustainable towns. Human-caused climate change is our second biggest existential challenge. Avoiding further climate change requires we stop burning fossil fuels. Total sustainability requires that we stop using up all non-renewables. We must also stop over-harvesting fragile renewables. We vacuum the sea and wreck the broodstock, no more fish. We clear fell timber on rainforest hillsides, millennia of soil is lost in the next monsoon. Obvious? Of course. But it's equally clear we are accelerating in the opposite direction. Why? Many of us live in cities and suburbs. They are deeply unsustainable. Their construction, maintenance and operation consumes non-renewable materials, and only little is reused and an insufficient proportion is recycled. And many cities and suburbs are coastal. Climate predictions suggest that they will be underwater within a few centuries. Their peoples will have to move, requiring massive and generous international cooperation. So we will have to relocate many people over the coming decades and centuries to have any chance of doing so in a controlled and totally sustainable way. We must start soon. So, where to move and how to live? New cities and suburbs on higher ground? No, that just repeats today's errors. I suggest we need to consider living in medium-sized towns, perhaps 15,000 residents, towns that are sustainably constructed and operated, and adjacent to sufficient land to satisfy most residents' need for food, dairy products, and timber. Those outer areas from adjacent towns should eventually form a transcontinental wildlife corridor, and the locations would be sufficiently elevated to survive an eventual 70-metre sea level rise. Town size is important. Too small makes it difficult to afford key social infrastructure. Too big and the inefficiencies of cities return. On average, a population of 15,000 would include about 2,600 students from kindergarten through high school. Suitably laid out, there could be no more than 2 kilometres in the town from any house to the shops, offices and factories. It is realistic to run such a town with no cars. People walk, cycle, skate and ride scooters. The disabled could use small electric vehicles or ride in a covered tricycle rickshaw. Roads would be half the normal suburban size, perhaps 5 metres wide, and would be marked with lanes for walkers and riders. Heavier vehicle visits would be rare. All buildings would have composting toilets, which would also take all kitchen scraps.
A harmadik meghallgatás következik.
Set 7, Task 1. Sustainable towns. Human-caused climate change is our second biggest existential challenge. Avoiding further climate change requires we stop burning fossil fuels. Total sustainability requires that we stop using up all non-renewables. We must also stop over-harvesting fragile renewables. We vacuum the sea and wreck the broodstock, no more fish. We clear fell timber on rainforest hillsides, millennia of soil is lost in the next monsoon. Obvious? Of course. But it's equally clear we are accelerating in the opposite direction. Why? Many of us live in cities and suburbs. They are deeply unsustainable. Their construction, maintenance and operation consumes non-renewable materials, and only little is reused and an insufficient proportion is recycled. And many cities and suburbs are coastal. Climate predictions suggest that they will be underwater within a few centuries. Their peoples will have to move, requiring massive and generous international cooperation. So we will have to relocate many people over the coming decades and centuries. To have any chance of doing so in a controlled and totally sustainable way, we must start soon. So, where to move and how to live? New cities and suburbs on higher ground? No, that just repeats today's errors. I suggest we need to consider living in medium-sized towns, perhaps 15,000 residents, towns that are sustainably constructed and operated, and adjacent to sufficient land to satisfy most residents' need for food, dairy products, and timber. Those outer areas from adjacent towns should eventually form a transcontinental wildlife corridor, and the locations would be sufficiently elevated to survive an eventual 70-metre sea level rise. Town size is important. Too small makes it difficult to afford key social infrastructure. Too big and the inefficiencies of cities return. On average, a population of 15,000 would include about 2,600 students from kindergarten through high school. Suitably laid out, there could be no more than 2 kilometres in the town from any house to the shops, offices and factories. It is realistic to run such a town with no cars. People walk, cycle, skate and ride scooters. The disabled could use small electric vehicles or ride in a covered tricycle rickshaw. Roads would be half the normal suburban size, perhaps 5 metres wide, and would be marked with lanes for walkers and riders. Heavier vehicle visits would be rare. All buildings would have composting toilets, which would also take all kitchen scraps.
Kérjük, hogy olvassa el a második szöveghez tartozó feladatot. A második szöveg első meghallgatása következik.
Task 2. Life after Brexit.
So how will Brexit affect your relationship?
Well, we've been thinking of getting married for some time now. About 10 years, in fact. But then that has gone out of the window now. I think it's most important to be able to have citizenship in Germany.
Matt is German. Does he have British citizenship?
Well, no, actually, he hasn't been able to get it. Even after so many years. After Brexit, if he keeps living here as a German citizen, or effectively as a European, he will be allowed to stay, but he will have less rights than an ordinary British citizen.
That seems deeply unfair.
Well, yes. And that's why we're considering a move back to Germany. I've actually now applied for a German passport.
But you're not German, are you?
Well, technically I am. My mother is German and my father British. Therefore, I am German. I was born German. There was a short period in the late 70s when it was possible that we could have German nationality. Before this, you could only be German if your father was German. My elder brother missed the window. He never became naturalised. After this, it was changed so that it was through the mother's line.
I see. It sounds complicated, though. And so by your mother's blood, you have German nationality, because the law changed.
So yes, the process of gaining a passport ought to be relatively straightforward now for me.
When do the changes take place for Brexit?
Not until the end of 2019, but that is still close enough to start to think about it.
And as a gay couple, how does it affect your status in Germany, should you want to get married?
Well, there, it is not quite the same legally as in the UK, where you have full rights the same as a heterosexual couple. But there, it is a civil partnership basis, I believe.
I've been thinking of the same thing. What will happen under Brexit? Whether I should try to get Hungarian citizenship?
I suggest you try to do it as soon as you can. The trouble is, in some countries, you must forfeit your original citizenship in order to gain a new one.
It surprises me, as I know a friend in Australia who's recently gained dual citizenship after meeting certain criteria.
As I say, it's only certain countries. Hungary may not be one. I don't know, but you ought to find out.
Most fél perc áll rendelkezésére, hogy a feladat megoldását megkezdje magyar nyelven. A szöveget még kétszer fogja hallani. A meghallgatások után egy-egy perc áll rendelkezésére, hogy a feladatot megoldja. A második meghallgatás következik.
Task 2. Life after Brexit.
So how will Brexit affect your relationship?
Well, we've been thinking of getting married for some time now. About 10 years, in fact. But then that has gone out of the window now. I think it's most important to be able to have citizenship in Germany.
Matt is German. Does he have British citizenship?
Well, no, actually, he hasn't been able to get it, even after so many years. After Brexit, if he keeps living here as a German citizen, or effectively as a European, he will be allowed to stay, but he will have less rights than an ordinary British citizen.
That seems deeply unfair.
Well, yes. And that's why we're considering a move back to Germany. I've actually now applied for a German passport.
But you're not German, are you?
Well, technically I am. My mother is German and my father British. Therefore, I am German. I was born German. There was a short period in the late 70s when it was possible that we could have German nationality. Before this, you could only be German if your father was German. My elder brother missed the window. He never became naturalised. After this, it was changed, so that it was through the mother's line.
I see. It sounds complicated, though. And so by your mother's blood, you have German nationality, because the law changed.
So yes, the process of gaining a passport ought to be relatively straightforward now for me.
When did the changes take place for Brexit?
Not until the end of 2019, but that is still close enough to start to think about it.
And as a gay couple, how does it affect your status in Germany, should you want to get married?
Well, there it is not quite the same legally as in the UK, where you have full rights the same as a heterosexual couple. But there it is a civil partnership basis, I believe.
I've been thinking of the same thing. What will happen under Brexit? Whether I should try to get Hungarian citizenship?
I suggest you try to do it as soon as you can. The trouble is, in some countries, you must forfeit your original citizenship in order to gain a new one.
It surprises me, as I know a friend in Australia who's recently gained dual citizenship after meeting certain criteria.
As I say, it's only certain countries. Hungary may not be one. I don't know, but you ought to find out.
A harmadik meghallgatás következik.
Task 2. Life after Brexit.
So how will Brexit affect your relationship?
Well, we've been thinking of getting married for some time now, about 10 years in fact, but then that has gone out of the window now. I think it's most important to be able to have citizenship in Germany.
Matt is German. Does he have British citizenship?
Well, no, actually, he hasn't been able to get it. Even after so many years. After Brexit, if he keeps living here as a German citizen, or effectively as a European, he will be allowed to stay, but he will have less rights than an ordinary British citizen.
That seems deeply unfair.
Well, yes. And that's why we're considering a move back to Germany. I've actually now applied for a German passport.
But you're not German, are you?
Well, technically I am. My mother is German and my father British. Therefore, I am German. I was born German. There was a short period in the late 70s when it was possible that we could have German nationality. Before this, you could only be German if your father was German. My elder brother missed the window. He never became naturalised. After this, it was changed, so that it was through the mother's line.
I see. It sounds complicated, though. And so by your mother's blood, you have German nationality, because the law changed.
So yes, the process of gaining a passport ought to be relatively straightforward now for me.
When did the changes take place for Brexit?
Not until the end of 2019, but that is still close enough to start to think about it.
And as a gay couple, how does it affect your status in Germany, should you want to get married?
Well, there, it is not quite the same legally as in the UK, where you have full rights the same as a heterosexual couple. But there, it is a civil partnership basis, I believe.
I've been thinking of the same thing. What will happen under Brexit? Whether I should try to get Hungarian citizenship?
I suggest you try to do it as soon as you can. The trouble is, in some countries, you must forfeit your original citizenship in order to gain a new one.
It surprises me, as I know a friend in Australia who's recently gained dual citizenship after meeting certain criteria.
As I say, it's only certain countries. Hungary may not be one. I don't know, but you ought to find out.
Munkáját köszönjük, és kérjük, tegye le a tollat!